You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Thank you so much for choosing 702 for The Curious and the Eusebius McKaiser Show, specifically another hour of really important and interesting content that we have planned for you. We're going to be looking at installment 2 in our focus on Old Mutual versus Peter Moyo. And many of you had written us last week to be very complimentary of Sikonathi Mantshantsha and the way in which he had helped us to understand the absolute fundamentals of what's in place. And so we're all a little bit cleverer now, those of us who are not experts in financial journalism and what goes on inside the boardrooms of corporate South Africa. Well, today we want to take that conversation further and build on it and understand where this battle is at now. There's lawfare going on and also just corporate warfare between these folks. And what are the implications? So I've got about 50 more questions that we didn't get to last week. And joining me to discuss this is a reporter and journalist, an award-winning one who's excellent in his work, who's been on top of the story, also with Daily Maverick, where he freelances, Ray Mashlaka. Ray, it's wonderful meeting you properly and having you on the show. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Eusebius, finally.
Yes, it's only a pleasure. I'm looking forward to this hour. Now, you want to sit back and just enjoy the content and the questions I'm going to put to him. I will ask all the obvious questions because they are really questions that I have, and hopefully they will be of some use to you wherever you're listening from. If I'm not asking a question that you think I should be putting to Ray, why don't you just call in and let's have a conversation. We'll do our best to make you understand the details of what's going on here. 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. Let's start with today, and then I'll work back to try and understand some of the big themes. And the big themes I want to explore with you, amongst others, are who are the shareholders of Old Mutual? How does the PIC get in here? When Peter says, give me 250 million and I'll shut up, where does that number even come from? Does it get pulled out of thin air? And do we have other case studies of this kind of corporate warfare that we can draw on? So those are the kinds of things I want to explore with you. But in terms of the news cycle, if anyone's listening to Eyewitness News or any other news platform, stuff is being filed today. What is happening today?
So when Peter Moyo was barred from returning to work after the High Court ruled that he can be temporarily reinstated as a CEO of Old Mutual, this was on the 30th of July. Subsequent to that, Peter Moyo was blocked three times from returning to work because Old Mutual said that it is appealing against that judgment that temporarily reinstated him as CEO. What that means is that, you know, Old Mutual does not have to comply with that particular judgment because its appeal process means that it temporarily, well, it automatically suspends the efficacy of that judgment. So Peter's very angry about that. He's still not back at work. He is at home. So he applied to the court to declare the board members in Old Mutual to be in contempt of court. Mm. By not complying with that High Court judgment, he believes that the directors are in contempt of court, and he wants a new court process to be started. So today we are expecting Old Mutual to file its court papers on the contempt of court legal proceedings. And the matter is expected to be heard on the 5th of November. Okay. So that's what's due from Old Mutual's side.
So it sounds really like a case inside a case inside a case inside a case. Yeah. You know, like in law, you've got these big questions in the main case and these cases inside the particular case. What has happened in the meantime? Mm-hmm. While we are waiting for the judges to decide on whether or not there is or isn't a suspension of an order, whether there's a contempt of a previous High Court judgment. Practically in the meantime, is the guy on premises as we speak, or is he now waiting for the case inside the case to be handled first before he knows whether he can go into his office?
Yeah.
Where is he physically?
He's at home.
Okay.
That's what I understand. He's not at Old Mutual, which is down the road. Mm. But you touched on it, Eusebius, and I think it's a very important point. There are so much complexities to this case, and there's so many separate legal processes. So the first is the contempt of court proceedings. The second is that Old Mutual is appealing against that High Court judgment that temporarily reinstated Peter Moyo as CEO. Hmm. That is expected to be heard sometime in November up until December.
Okay.
Then there is the second leg of Peter Moyo's case, lawsuit against Old Mutual. Mm. And that's where he seeks to declare the board members as delinquent directors, all 13 members of the board, including board chair Trevor Manuel. And he's also looking for financial damages as well. So you've got these ongoing three cases that makes the matter so complex, to the point that Moya's lawyers say that it might take 2 years to complete all cases. Old Mutual says it might take 4 years to complete all of this cases. So what it effectively means is that Peter Moya is now dragged into further legal processes, and there's no certainty that this matter will wrap up anytime soon.
Okay. I want to understand Old Mutual as a company. Who does Old Mutual belong to? Who are the shareholders?
Yeah. So there's a large set of shareholders in Old Mutual. There are institutions, so we call them companies, that are invested in Old Mutual's shares on behalf of clients.
Okay.
So Array and Eusebius, we want to do the financially responsible thing of saving for retirement one day or investing on the JSE. And we approach institutions, we give them our money through debit orders every month. And they take that money and invest that money on various companies on the JSE on behalf of us as clients and investors. So the biggest shareholder of Old Mutual is the Public Investment Corporation. The Public Investment Corporation invests the pension savings of government employees. So it has this large pool of savings, in total about 2 trillion rand, and also funds belonging to the Unemployment Insurance Fund and the Compensation Fund. So the PIC invests that 2 trillion rand pot of money in the aim of making a return one day. So when Eusebius retires at the age of 65, the Public Investment Corporation can be able to pay you because you're in retirement and you need that income. So one set of shareholders of Old Mutual is the Public Investment Corporation. It owns about 12% of Old Mutual shares.
Okay.
It is the single largest shareholder, institutional shareholder of Old Mutual. Then the second shareholder, second largest, is Alan Gray. Now they own 10% of Old Mutual's shares. And those are the two largest shareholders. Then you've got other shareholders as well, Prudential Investment Managers. So these are institutions as well that clients give them money to invest on their behalf as well.
So this is interesting, right? Because what it suggests to me, right, which maybe for you is a trite point as a financial journalist, is that this isn't just an interesting news story to watch and taking out a kip as you are watching this incredible warfare going on, and you buy the Business Times or you read Daily Maverick to understand the next drama scene that is being scripted. We're talking here about real hardworking South Africans in a time when the economy is sluggish, having potentially the value of their future earnings in terms of pension being decimated if this battle goes on for too long. Is that why the PIC finally broke its silence?
Yeah. I think that's quite an important point, Eusebius. You know, the financial impact to people. This is happening in a context where people, South Africans, we're told, cannot afford to retire. They're going to have to work much longer in order to have that pot of savings to be able to retire comfortably one day, if that's even possible to retire comfortably. So yes, the PIC has broken its silence and said that the decline in Old Mutual's share price, which has declined about 7% since Peter Moya was placed on suspension on the 24th of May. So from then until now, the share price is down about 7%. Money has been lost. As shareholders, the value of your investment in Old Mutual has declined because of the punch up between Old Mutual and Peter Moya. So the PIC has come out to say it is concerned about the saga, and it wants a speedy resolution to the saga, and it wants this matter to be resolved.
So it hasn't been very prescriptive, right? As I understand it, they're basically saying, be grown up about this, for goodness sake. Is that right?
Or
is there more to the story than that?
No, you just hit the nail on the head. The PIC has not been specific about what the solution to the impasse should be.
What is the real impact in terms of corporate behavior? And in your experience, when this kind of thing plays out, when a shareholder that is that important even steps out into the arena to venture a quasi opinion, what impact does it really have,
yeah,
either on the board or another actor in the saga, Peter Moyer in this case?
Yeah.
Will it really concentrate their minds?
Absolutely, because what it essentially says is that, hang on, you Old Mutual board members have not handled this matter in a way that we expect you to do, or even in a good way as well. So when shareholders intervene, you know that, you know, the matter's now getting out of control.
Okay.
And they want the matter to be reined in.
Mm.
So, you know, when the PIC says we want a solution to this matter, you can infer a couple of ideas here. Either it wants Moyer to walk away and never come back to Old Mutual, or Old Mutual should start negotiating and give him a financial settlement as well to end and, you know, put the protected matter to bed.
Yeah.
But the PIC has not come out and said, we want this and that. Who knows? Maybe they are having behind the scenes talk with the board, and it has expressed itself much more clearly with board members rather than coming out publicly and saying that we need you to give Peter Moyer a financial settlement to walk away.
Ray, do we know the precise value differential that the 7% that you are talking about has on the individual investment on the part of the PIC? Because I don't know if my eyes deceived me over the weekend, but I think I saw at least one article, and correct me if I'm wrong, that suggested that if we just take the PIC's portion of investment into Old Mutual, that the value that has been decimated in terms of pensioners' monies and what have you is as much as, in terms of an actual quantum, R1 billion?
It could be, because if you look at the market value of Old Mutual, the last time I checked, it was about 95 billion rand.
Yikes.
So that would be like 12%. It's a lot of money, you know, CBS. So that could be correct. But I can give you the broader level of how much Old Mutual has lost throughout the saga over the past 4 months. So the market value of Old Mutual since Peter Moyer was placed on suspension on May 23rd, Old Mutual has lost about 10 billion rand.
Jeepers.
From the value of its market value, basically, on its Old Mutual shares. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
That is an insane amount of money, which leads me to the next theme I want to explore with you. And you've already put it into context. Mm. If that's the amount of money that you are losing in value because of shifts in, you know, how much your share prices are worth and that, what have you, 250 million. Before we ask whether that is greed on Peter's part, relative to the size of the company and the kind of numbers you've just shared with the public, 250 million, does that sounds to me like a prudent point at which to potentially settle or not?
It could. I mean, there are some people who actually were inferring that before Old Mutual, before Peter Moyer came out with the number, that, you know, Peter might actually settle at 300 million. So, but it's important to actually, you know, distinguish how Peter Moyer got to 250 million. So Peter Moyer was appointed a CEO in March 2017 or so. And his employment contract, or his retirement age, well, he has to retire in October 2023. So we're talking about in the next 4 to 3 years' time. So Peter Moyer says, you know, because Old Mutual breached my contractual rights, you know, it needs to pay out, give me a financial settlement that is linked to an amount that I could have made at the time I retire. So Peter Moyer says, naturally, 230 million rand, and I'll come to breaking down the 250 million rand. He says that that amount of money, he could have naturally made it if he was still employed by Old Mutual up until 2023 in October. He breaks down the figure of 250 as 230 being the amount he should be paid for contractual damages, meaning that Old Mutual firing him before giving him a disciplinary inquiry. So that's how much he's claiming. Then the remaining 20 million, he says that's an amount he's claiming for damages to his reputation. Because Old Mutual has said a manner of things about him wrongfully pocketing dividends and enriching himself. And Peter Moyer believes that I need 20 million rand as a claim for damages to my reputation, because I may never find a job again in corporate South Africa, because so much has been said about my integrity and reputation. So to soothe me and, you know, make me happy, I need 20 million.
The 230.
Yeah.
When you say contractual damages, what do we mean by that? Do we specifically mean that purely in terms of salary role, he would have earned between now and 2023 or thereabouts a further 230 million. Is that how straightforward that calculation is?
So that's according to Peter Moyo. So he says he could have made an amount similar to 230 million rand because
that's an insane amount of money. How much has he actually in terms of past earnings since becoming CEO? What has been his annual package?
So let's use 2018 as an example. His total remuneration package was 50.5 million rand.
Okay.
So in this 50.
So suddenly 230 doesn't seem like madness.
It doesn't. If you take a.
It seems like an extrapolation of a past.
Yeah.
Year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a breakdown of that 50.5 million rand is that Peter Moyo had a base salary of 8.4 million rand last year. Then because he's the CEO of Old Mutual, he's given shares as part of a management incentive scheme. So at last count, he holds about 2 million Old Mutual shares, which in monetary terms are valued at about 50 million rand or so.
Okay.
But there's a proviso to that because he has to be locked in for 3 years before he can sell those shares, meaning that those shares vest in 2022.
And that's not atypical. That's often a condition that comes with it.
Right? Absolutely. That's how contracts are structured. Then he has other fringe benefits. So we're talking about the use of a company car, medical aid contributions, performance bonuses. So if Old Mutual meets its targets, he is given a performance bonus. So all of those moving parts, incentive schemes, total to 50.5 million rand. And also what boosted his pay last year was that Old Mutual was involved in a transaction called the managed separation, which Old Mutual was split into four independent companies. And Old Mutual moved its listing from London to South Africa. So for delivering on that transaction, he got a huge payment as well for that particular transaction. So last year's total remuneration was about 50.5 million rand.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
What has Old Mutual's formal response been to this 250 million number?
You sort of have sensed, I've sensed that Old Mutual says this number is outrageous. It's a further process for Peter Moyo enriching himself, and he's putting his interest.
Now
before,
that you mentioned that, they've go on because I think you're about to touch on a really interesting PR spin that they put to it.
So what they said is that, you know, we're paying him for the notice period because after he was fired, he was given a pay for a note for his 6 months notice period, which came to about 4 million rand or so. So, you know, Old Mutual says he's putting his self-interest ahead of Old Mutual itself. So basically accusing him of being greedy and wanting to extract a lot of money from Old Mutual.
I've also seen suggestions or an implication that he's putting himself ahead of shareholders specifically, which is an interesting way to try and put this in the public space.
Yeah.
As not only is this guy being unreasonable and greedy, he's not only fighting Old Mutual per se, but presumably by implication, very vulnerable pension, you know, the government workers and who have very little money that they make as individual members, which is a very naughty way of doing it because those of us who are not experts when it comes to corporate warfare, we might say, yeah, no, that's true. I mean, who needs more than 5 million to be able to live well or 10 million?
Yeah.
250 is outrageous. But the way you've broken down the 250, there is some rationality to it. It's not a figure that was plucked from the air.
Yeah. There is, Eusebius. And also, Trevor Manuel will tell you that there are shareholders who are against entering into a financial settlement with Peter Moyo. The one is Alan Gray, in fact, the second largest Old Mutual shareholder, which told me that it hopes the courts ruled in Old Mutual's favor and that it doesn't want Old Mutual to enter into financial settlements with Peter Moyo. So Old Mutual has been pushed to a corner here, not only by Peter Moyo through the court process, because Old Mutual has been losing cases left, right, and center, but also it's under pressure from shareholders who really don't want Peter Moyo to get a golden handshake at the end of this process. So I'm sure there's intense behind the scenes negotiations between the board itself and individual shareholders as well.
Do we yet know, or is this not yet come to light, what the other shareholders like Alan Gray think in terms of the details for their, what their positions are. You've told me what one of their positions are, but also what the logic is. Is there a bona fide view that Peter is wrong on the substantive issues and the merits of the overall warfare between himself and Old Mutual and how the NMT play thing played out. Is that where they're coming from? Or is there fear that you're setting a bad precedent? Why would they be resisting nipping the sling in the bud?
Sure. It depends which set of shareholders you speak to.
Okay.
So the larger ones are a bit reticent. They don't want to go into that kind of detail. But throughout the saga, I've spoken to minority shareholders. So we're talking about, you know, shareholders that own 0.1% of Old Mutual's, shares, or shareholders that hold less than 1%, a position on Old Mutual's, shares. So those shareholders would naturally come out and be very comfortable to talk to you about everything. And one of the shareholders I've spoken to, he represents pension funds that hold shares in Old Mutual. And he said, from the get-go, Peter Moyo, this relationship with Old Mutual was compromised in the first place. Old Mutual should have not extended funding to Peter Moyo's private company called NMT Capital in the first place and hire him later on. Some shareholders do believe that Peter Moyo was conflicted from the first place, and he should have not been appointed as the CEO of Old Mutual, even though there were measures in place to control whatever conflict of interest that could have emerged from that arrangement.
Absolutely fascinating. We've got another 10, 15 minutes left with Ray. If you've got any questions for him or issues you'd like us to explore, I'm certainly learning a hell of a lot. And this builds on our conversation we had last week, the second installment in trying to make you, the public, understand what is going on in this fascinating corporate and legal warfare between Peter Moyo and Old Mutual. I wonder whether you think Old Mutual should settle, cut its losses, and begin to rebuild. And also, how you feel about brand Old Mutual. When I say Old Mutual, what comes to mind for you? When I say Peter Moyo, what comes to mind for you? Because the only way to test reputational loss, I mean, one way to do it is to have a look at what happens to the share prices. And in the case of the CEO, whether he is still hot property in terms of being sought after. But in the eye of the public, I want to know from you how you feel about these folks that are at loggerheads with one another. 011-883-0702.
Eusebius McKaiser on 702.
011-883-0702. We are talking about the ongoing, more than just a spat, between Old Mutual and Peter Moyo. And we're doing so with financial journalist Ray Mashlaka, who writes for the Daily Maverick. You got a question? Give us a call. He'll do his best to answer it. Lucas, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, Eusebius. Hi, morning.
Morning.
Yes, so my question for Ray is just maybe something related to Peter Moyo and maybe in general for CEOs is, when do we actually start seeing the corporates rewriting it in such a way that the CEOs have got less recourse in scenarios like this, where if there's blatant, I want to say, transgression from the CEO side? If you look at this, I mean, now it's got to go to court, and it's a very lengthy process to actually claw back some of the money, and Peter Moyo almost has a foot to stand on. But he's not in isolation. I mean, if you think of Ruben September with Telkom, I mean, there's many examples where these CEOs, I mean, they're not exemplary CEOs, but then they are being paid and these settlement bonuses and everything. And my father always said, you know what, if you write the contract, you can put anything in there as long as it's mutually agreed. So if I think my point is, and the question I want to ask is, when do we start seeing the corporates putting in, let's call it safe gates, into the contract, that you avoid these kind of scenarios and public spats where it's a done deal and they've got no recourse, they just need to leave if they've mismanaged or there's specific reasons that they can write into those contracts?
Thanks, Lucas. A couple of great questions there. There is a view, I think it's implicit in what you are saying. Your colleague Sigonati was blunt in a piece he wrote for Daily Maverick, that this guy shouldn't have been hired in the first place. And what happened at NMT, Peter doesn't have a leg to stand on. Sure. Clearly, there should have been preferential payout firstly to Old Mutual, which is how, you know, he is wrong in that regard. Whatever our critique of the board, it doesn't have to be winners and losers. Sure. They can all be a bunch of losers in one scenario. Yeah. But what is the answer to Lucas's question? Is there nothing specifically in the details of the contract that could easily have been invoked the moment this man paid out shareholder or was part of a meeting at NMT that undermined the commercial interest of Old Mutual.
Here's the thing, you know, Old Mutual did set up what was called a protocol document, where, you know, Old Mutual did mention that Peter Moyer should put Old Mutual's interest first before that of NMT Capital. Mm-hmm. So in hindsight, could you say that was that enough on its own?
Mm.
Probably not. But the problem here is that maybe it speaks to corporate governance in South Africa and the various structures put in place for corporate governance. Because here we are now in the Peter Moyer saga and Old Mutual saga, now negotiating or talking about a financial settlement. There is nothing in law, according to my understanding, that empowers shareholders to vote against a golden handshake to an axed CEO.
Hmm.
There's nothing that empowers shareholders to say, hey, let's put this through a vote. Let's field out for opinions if you really want a CEO to be paid money to go away. There's nothing that in law that prevents Old Mutual from, you know, putting it through a shareholder's vote, for example. So, you know, I think that the broader narrative here is about corporate governance standards.
That's right.
And the fiduciary duty of CEOs and executives themselves as well. I think it goes to the heart of that
matter.
I think
you're right. And I think this is a case of chickens coming home to roost. You set up, as the lawyers would say in pretentious Latin, up initio, from the beginning, you set up something odious. And now you are surprised that you got yourself into trouble when one or two big-headed personalities further down the line were no longer playing ball. Because the very genesis of this contract with NMT Capital on the side and this man having to look after the interest of himself in the one place and also the interest of the company that hires him as CEO, that's a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. But if your corporate governance principles are lucidly thought out and you set yourself a very high bar for what counts as ethical excellence, you would have made sure that practically you have a very different set of arrangements for ensuring that there are massive Chinese walls between the operations of NMT Capital and what it means to be the CEO putting the interests of Old Mutual first.
Sure. I guess, you know, let's go back to when Old Mutual invested in NMT Capital in the early 2000s. Let's go back to South Africa at that time. BE legislation, Black Economic Empowerment legislation, had been legislated or put in place. And Old Mutual's investment in NMT Capital was structured as a Black Economic Empowerment transaction and objective as well. At the time, unfortunately, BE was tainted because you started seeing the emergence of these Black, relatively successful individuals who benefited in large amounts of money as well. So it also created the ethical debate about BE. Does it have a broader impact in society, a coterie of individuals who are well connected and, you know, who are business savvy and have these, you know, large networks as well? So maybe for Old Mutual, that arrangement with NMT Capital was flawed because the timing of it back then, it was very opaque, BE transactions.
100%. Nhla, good morning.
Hi, Yusivia. How are you?
Extremely well. Hope you're enjoying Ray as much as we are. Have you got a question or a comment?
Yes, like I have a comment. Like I want to comment like on the question, like what do I think of Old Mutual?
Yes.
Yes, when I think of Old Mutual, like I see like a bunch of directors like led by Trevor Manuel, like with no respect of our judicial system. The way Trevor Manuel like responded to the court judgment, like it is so disgusting. Like I will never put my money at Old Mutual.
And do you have sympathy for Peter, or do you think there are no winners in this saga?
I do have like absolute sympathy for Peter Moyer. I don't care like about Old Mutual, but I do have like sympathy for Peter Moyer.
And why is that, Nhlanhla?
It's because like Trevor Manuel, like he's been like treating like people like slaves. Like he's been like treating Julius Malema and a lot of people like he's like law unto himself.
Okay, interesting perspective. You know, it's interesting. You couldn't write this as a feature length television production as a David versus Goliath, because quite frankly, these are all big men of corporate South Africa. Peter is no victim, and Trevor is no victim. Old Mutual isn't a victim as a juristic person. And so it's kind of interesting how the public, even segments of us in the public, try and understand whether there's a little person here fighting a big person. Yeah. These are big males of corporate South Africa, which is the other reason why we, the way we read this saga, we should be careful to not overread skewed power dynamics here. Are there massively skewed power dynamics?
Well, on the one hand, you have a CEO you could argue is enormously paid, well paid. So you have a privileged CEO. And he's relatively also privileged colleagues as well, fighting and duking it all out here. But it's maybe the fault is with journalists, maybe the framing and how we write these articles. We tend to favor the small guy versus a big corporation taking on, you know, a small guy as well.
Even the small guy, sometimes even a numerical thing that's interesting about journalism.
Sure.
The one person versus a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And then you think if someone is a group of one, they are inherently being bullied by a group of many people.
Yeah.
But I mean, things are more complicated than that. I want to move on. Let's focus then on the board itself.
Yeah.
So what is going on here? Is Peter also trying to get what the individual board members declared delinquents, or what's going on in that respect?
Yeah. So that's the second leg of his lawsuit against Old Mutual. Peter Moyer believes that the way his suspension first and firing was handled was completely missed by the board members themselves. But what is a delinquency, you know, if you're declared as a delinquent director, what does that mean? There's a piece of legislation called the Companies Act. And that particular legislation sets out the expectations of good governance from company directors and ethical behavior by company directors. So Old Mutual believes that, you know, this is a personal matter, a vendetta against me that Old Mutual is fighting against me. So, you know, cool heads have been lost in this process. It's now about personalities and egos. So Peter Moyer wants to approach the court to declare all 13 members of Old Mutual's board as delinquent. Basically, he's looking to censure their conduct.
What is his legal argument?
His legal argument is how they've handled this whole process. Because, you know, Peter Moyer said, because he believes he's a whistleblower, by the way, after declaring, questions about Trevor Manuel's triple conflict of interest and legal fees as well that were paid by Old Mutual in what he believes was a matter that was not related to Old Mutual at all. He believes that that motivated his sacking rather than actual real reasons why he was suspended and fired later on. So because of that, he believes that, you know, the board members have compromised themselves. It's become now a personal issue versus a business issue. And he now wants to declare the board members as
delinquent. What is the law saying? Yeah. What do lawyers that you have canvassed on this privately or otherwise told you their intuitions are? Because I would imagine that, sure, the Companies Act sets out the fiduciary responsibilities that a good executive must meet. Otherwise, they should be blacklisted. I mean, I would have hoped we've done so already with especially some of the thugs in charge of our SOEs. They should never be allowed to be companies directors again.
Mm.
But the standard can't also be as low as, I don't like you, CBS, like he was fighting me when I was being employed by the company.
Okay.
So what are the odds of him meeting the threshold requirement for such a declaration?
So going back to when Peter Moyer was suspended, what did Old Mutual say about his suspension? It said there was a conflict of interest and a breakdown in the relation between Peter Moyer and the CEO.
Yes.
Fast forward to June 18th when he was fired. Oh, by the way, before I get there, it said there was no financial misconduct on the part of Peter Moyer.
Hmm.
That's what Trevor Manuel said. Then fast forward to the 18th of June when Peter Moyer was fired. It said that, Peter Moyer has declared ordinary dividends to at an NMT Capital board meeting on the 4th of July, 2018. And he didn't pay preference share dividends to Old Mutual, effectively starving it of its rights to dividends. So Peter Moyer said those reasons and the change in the reasons given for his sacking, it is flip-flopping on the part of Old Mutual's board members. So on that reason alone, it's enough to censure their conduct and it's enough to declare them as delinquent. And declaring them as delinquent, and if the court does agree that the board members should be declared as delinquent, it means that they cannot serve on any company board for a period of up to 8 years.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that play out. I think Peter might be trying his luck on that one. James, good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you.
Yeah, boy.
My thing is, should we not go back to the root cause of all of this? Is did Peter pay out ordinary dividends out of NMT ahead of paying Old Mutual their preference share dividend? And if so, he was acting against the interests of Old Mutual. And therefore, as CEO, he should be fired. And there should be no sympathy for him.
Yeah,
James,
I totally agree with you, but I am a thinking ignoramus on this one. I've now had two excellent journalists, Sikonati and Ray, narrating that part of the story. But part of the problem is that Old Mutual didn't do itself favors by how it set up that, because this man had declared in his contract, yeah, I'm part of this other company. I'm going to do this thing. Mm-hmm. They took on all of these risks. That is what sullies that particular story, right?
Yeah. And what's strange is that Old Mutual never had a director on the board of NMT Capital who would be their eyes and ears, because
that does not report directly to Peter at Old Mutual.
That's right. Because the nominated director they had in the name of Mubashir Patel, his fiduciary duties were more at NMT Capital and reported directly to Peter Moyer. Mm. So that was the blunder number one. And blunder number two was that, depending on who you listen to, Peter Moyer said the dividends were not paid because All Mutual from 2010, if memory serves, agreed for the dividends to not be paid. So they were rolled over. There was extensions to the payment of dividends. That's why All Mutual came out and said there were no dividends paid. But Peter Moyer says this Mubashir Patel individual agreed to the rollover and extension of dividend payments, resulting in Old Mutual not receiving its dividend payments at all.
But I want to come back to this gentleman's question. Mm. When all the detail of the last hour is said and done,
sure,
and the cases inside the case, the little cases, are done, and we get back to the substantive issue of him being fired, will it not be as simple in terms of the factual chronology as you were part of a special meeting that paid ordinary dividends, therefore you are fired as CEO.
Sure.
Is that not a slam dunk on the core, the main issue?
Yeah.
Besides all of these little tirlantenkis on the side.
Yeah. I'm going to cop out and say in theory, yes. Mm. But in practice, again, hearing what Peter Moyer has said, they had this individual. At dispute here is, who did Mubashir Patel, the nominated director, in whose interest did he serve? Mm. Did he serve NMT's interest more than Old Mutual as well? But again,
okay.
So in theory, yes and no. Well, in theory, no, but in practice, I guess, yes.
I thought what you're going to say, and I don't know whether this will be enough in law to save yourself from being fired, is that when Old Mutual said, hey, buddy, you forgot about us, and the word preferential, he said, okay, cool, sure, and then gave them whatever they were due anyway, right?
Yeah.
So he might argue in law, and I'm thinking aloud here, that, okay, I should have been the first one to say, preferences for Old Mutual at that special MTN Capital meeting.
Sure.
But I forgot I had a senior moment. Yeah. But now that you've reminded me, within a week I was willing to make sure that MTN Capital actually gives you what you would do.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would stand up.
It should, because, I mean, as you said, preference shares means that they have the first claim of shares than any other shareholder. That's also outlined in the Companies Act as well. Preference shareholders should get dividends first and have the first claim to profits than any other shareholder. So legally, yes. But I guess
But the board can then turn around and say, okay, but I mean, what's the whole darn point of calling you the CEO with up to 50 million rand a year that you take in a package if you conveniently forgot the word preferential shares when you were at a special meeting at this company called NMT Capital.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You shouldn't have to be reminded. What happened if we didn't send you a young SMS? Would you never have, of your own volition, have remembered that there are preferential share dividends to be paid out?
Yeah. Yes, you see this. And also, I think the legal process itself at a high court level didn't dealt. I mean, it wasn't a huge factor of the case. But they reverted back to the employment contract and terms of Peter's employment contract. And I guess that's where they sort of, that's how Peter won on a technicality, I guess. Him not being afforded a disciplinary hearing before he was fired. But legally, under the Companies Act, and I'll repeat this again, preferential shareholders have the first claim to dividends than any other shareholder.
Okay, we're going to wrap the conversation after this. I could listen to Ray the whole day. Really interesting. I'm very keen to understand what the implications are or are not for the rest of corporate South Africa. One of you called earlier and raised that question, because this is a really interesting case study. I wonder whether this is typical of the skullduggery in corporate South Africa in general. What lessons can be learned going forward? I see the line still going crazy. Quick calls, if you have a quick one, a comment or question for Ray, 011-883-0702. We've got about 5 or so minutes left. We'll try and sneak in one or two of more of your comments on the other side of this.
Eusebius Makaiser. Eusebius Makaiser. On 702.
8 minutes left of the show, and what a 3 hours it has been. This hour, if you've just joined us, you've missed out, you're going to have to listen to the whole podcast. We've been hanging out with Ray Mashlaka, a journalist who's been on top of the minutiae when it comes to Old Mutual versus Peter Moyo. Let's take a couple of calls before I sneak in one or two final questions. Bob, good morning.
Hey, Sebastian, Ray, how's it? So my two or three comments is, who appointed the Old Mutual nominated person at the NMT capital meeting? Was that person appointed by Peter Moyo to sit on that board, or the board at Old Mutual were involved in that appointment? So if the board was not involved, or Peter Moyo was involved in appointing that person, yes, there is a conflict of interest, because you can't appoint someone that reports to you to go and represent Old Mutual as an independent capacity. That's point number one. Point number two, no matter how wrong or perceived Peter Moyo was, Old Mutual are supposed to follow the process according to labor law and put into a disciplinary inquiry, and if found guilty by an independent chairperson, then they could have dismissed him. But in this case, they did not do that. And the third point is, definitely this case is going to change the landscape in the board accountability in the corporate South Africa. And yeah, it will be interesting how it turns out to be. But in whichever way, I think Old Mutual has lost a lot of money in terms of shareholder value here.
Okay, Bob, we're going to get to your last point as my final question for Ray. Ray, very quickly, this chap that was at NMT Capital, who appointed him?
I think it was a board decision. If
it was a board decision. Yeah. Okay, so that deals with that. And then you've already made the point that whatever the merits in relation to it being a fireable offense to forget about the preferential dividends that needed to be paid, you still have to follow proper DC processes. So this gentleman is right. Old Mutual was silly to not do it by the book.
Yeah, it was smart on Peter Moyo's part to not go to the Labour Court and petition the High Court, because the Labour Court would deal with the Labour Relations Act and the broader labour legislation, whereas the High Court dealt with the specific terms of his employment contract with Old Mutual.
That's so interesting.
It was a bungle on that, on Old Mutual's side. I mean, yeah.
Bongani, good morning. Quick one.
Good morning, Eusebius. Okay, my comment is really on the preference shares. The preference shares are basically a loan that was given to NMT Capital. That's the substance of the transaction that they had initially. So the question would be, when last were they paid? And if they were never paid, what was the reason? And were there any ordinary dividends paid before, or was this the first ordinary dividend paid? Because this is a clever scheme that was probably set up to fund this BE company in terms of NMT Capital or whatever the case may be, but the board must come and take responsibility and say, look, this is how this was supposed to have been followed from the onset, the initial agreement. So I just want to
know. But just a quick one there, Bongani. Yeah, I mean, I'll get Ray to answer you. This is very complicated stuff. I don't understand half of it. But if the CEO, in part, is contractually bound to make sure that he looks after the preferential interests of Old Mutual, it doesn't matter what the history is of how often dividends have or haven't been paid out. Whether it's the first time, the fifth time, or the ninth time, your duty in law contractually remains the same as Peter Moyo. No?
That is correct, UCBS. But remember, the CEO reports to a board. So Peter Moyo will not have paid the ordinary dividends by himself at NMT. There is a board at NMT as well. So they must have sat on a board meeting where they declared that dividend. And in declaring that dividend, they should have taken care of the preference shares. According to the...
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's an interesting one.
It is.
Has Peter commented on the proceedings of that meeting that mm-hmm. happened? Mm-hmm. Might he have been hamstrung by other people that were in that meeting?
Yeah. I think also what complicates the matter is that he personally chaired that meeting when dividends were declared. and you know, but the problem here is that, again, I maybe sound like a broken record, Eusebius. If you listen to Peter Moy, he said there was an agreement by Old Mutual to not pay these dividends since 2010. So they were rolled over, extended over numerous times as well. So, and actually before he was fired, there was negotiations to actually, you know, roll over the payment of dividends as well for another period as well. So we're talking about four or five incidences of those preferential share dividends being paid. NMT Capital has paid those preferential, outstanding preferential dividends, amounting to about close to 50 million rand as well. So that matter has been settled.
Where to from here? Is this an atypical case? Why has it captured the imagination of the public so much? Or in your experience with this being a specialist beat for you, is this kind of thing what happens in corporate South Africa on the daily?
No, because I mean, if you look at the industry in which Peter has been, has worked in, it's called the financial services industry. So we talk about banks, insurance. Peter Meyer is not the first CEO to leave under a cloud at a particular company. Is it a case of maybe Old Mutual not being adept enough to handle this matter, you know, in a way that does not reach scandal point? You could argue, say, yes. But I guess what grips the nation is the number of embarrassing court losses that Old Mutual has collected from the High Court as well. So maybe that also adds the cheer factor for Moyo in this whole debacle as well. But no, we've never seen, you know, sure, there's been acrimonious separations from an employer and employee at a very senior level. But in my recollection, it has never got to a High Court and low fare kind of process.
30 seconds. As a journalist on this story, including today with papers that will be filed and going forward in the weeks and months ahead, what are the two or three most important, from an editorial point of view, questions you will be looking to see answered or getting bits on in terms of the newsworthiness of where the story goes to next? 30 seconds.
Well, firstly, will the board stay intact? Because we've seen one board member resigned, basically, who I believe was having negotiations with Peter Moyo to enter into a financial settlement. So I've been told there might be further resignations to the board in protest against how Old Mutual has handled this matter, but that's speculation. It's not been confirmed yet. Obviously, I'll be tracking the legal process going forward. The contempt of court proceedings are very important because being held in contempt of court is very serious. It means that you're disrespecting the court. It means that you're not following the court's directions as well, which comes with pretty harsh sanctions,
absolutely,
I believe. Yeah.
Ray Mashlaka, freelance journalist, who's been writing on these issues for a long time and doing so with excellence, and in particular filing for the Daily Maverick. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.